All right, it is Saturday. We've got Giants and Cubs coming up, and it is Kyle Hendricks for the Cubs, Matt Cain for the Giants. Let's go back to Wrigley and bring in Extra Bags, Andy Baggerly, Bay Area Newspaper Group. Andy, how are you today?
Hey, Marty, I'm great. How are you?
Very good. Guy, you sound like you're in a little bit of a tunnel there. Where are you?
Hang on. I had you on speakerphone. Is this better?
Oh, yeah. There you go. That's the Andy Baggerly we know and love. Good. So how are you today?
Doing a little multitasking here. Doing a little multitasking as I try to get out of my hotel room and head to the ballpark. So I'm good. I'm good. How are you?
I'm doing good. All right. Let's get right to it. Is this club here hitting a little lull at the wrong time with injuries and maybe some defensive lapses? And if it is, how do they get out of it?
Well, I think they're running against some good teams. We've talked about this. They're going to play 26 games against teams with winning records in a row. And they won't see a losing team until they go to Coors Field on September 3rd, and they're only two games in, and obviously it hasn't gone so well thus far. But, Mike Leake on the DL, they lost Joe Panik on this trip. They knew it would be a challenging trip when they started off, even though the first two opponents are not going to be playoff teams, the Rangers likely not making the playoffs and the Braves sort of rebuilding now. But you try to go 500 on the road, especially when it's going to be a taxing trip and you deal with some heat. And now they've got to win these next two at Wrigley to come home with a 500 record on this trip. And I think if they can do that, everybody's going to take it and be pretty pleased with it.
Oh, yeah, that'd be great if they could finish this thing up with two wins this weekend. Andy, we don't get much news about Panik and the back injury. What do you know about it?
Well, so what we were told is that he went back to San Francisco and he had his tests done, and they did not show any structural issues, no disc fragmentation or any of those types of things. There is inflammation. And what Panik said before he left was, when he took a day off, they had the travel day. They really worked on trying to loosen up the muscles back there. They thought they did a good job of that. And then he went and played and it just locked up on him again. So he was concerned that it was something more than muscular. And, what's causing his nerves to fire, they aren't quite sure. They did give him a cortisone injection. And, Bruce Bochy says that everybody's read on this thing is that 2 weeks of rest, a little bit of rehab work, and it should quiet down. I mean, when you're scooping down ground balls all day and taking swings all day, it's even if you're a relatively fit, 25-year-old, that thing can go sometimes. And those of us who have had back problems know just how debilitating it can be. So, I think last night was the first time that you really saw the Giants missing Joe Panik. It was clear that they missed him, and this is absolutely no criticism of Kelby Tomlinson, who had just a tremendous debut series in Atlanta, but the Braves didn't have a pitcher like John Lester, and you saw the difference when Tomlinson faced him, and those two ground balls that led to the first three runs were both hit hard. I think that it's hard to say a second baseman should make that play, but both of them went off of Tomlinson's glove, and I think the Panik keeps him on the infield at minimum and maybe even finds a way to make a play. That's just how good he is. He's the best defensive second baseman I've ever covered. So I think they missed him a little bit.
Boy, yesterday. High praise for Joe Panik. I think he's only got two errors the whole year, something like that. So I know what you're talking about. Mike Leake, that hamstring sort of came out of nowhere. I know it cramped up on him in Atlanta. But do you think it's just one or two turns? He looks pretty happy on the bench throwing in the outfield. Doesn't look too serious to me.
Yeah, grade one hamstring strain, not too significant, but just enough to where if he tries to tax it, he could really pop it, and then he'd be out a while. So they're just erring on the side of caution. It's funny, Marty. The Giants lose a couple games, and my Twitter mentions blow up with a lot of negativity. And so many people said, well, they can't continue with Vogelsong. He's done. He's got nothing. And I wonder, are people watching the game? Are they watching what he's throwing? Because his stuff is pretty darn good to the point of being electric at times. And, I think the guy got pulled out of the rotation, out of the bullpen, put back in the rotation, and you saw him go toe-to-toe with Lester until the fifth when he make a couple of two-strike mistakes that probably were fatigue-related, I would imagine. But, I don't think you feel too much too many jitters going forward with Vogelsong for another start, because I thought he was pretty darn good yesterday.
Yeah, I agree with you. And they got him out at a time. This way Bochy manages this time of year. He got him out at a time with a couple on, and he brought in his relief pitcher, and it just didn't get done. And usually Boach makes those kind of moves, and it gets done. And this sort of backfired. But I agree with you. I thought Vogelsong was very sharp yesterday until he gave up the couple of hits there in the fifth inning. Andy, Angel Pagan is leading off again today. I just got the lineup from Matt Chisholm here. Pagan, Aoki, Duffy, Posey, Pence, Belt, Crawford, Adrianza at second today, and Kane. Angel Pagan, and we all see it. I mean, we all see the numbers offensively. We all see what he's doing defensively. Is there no change here? Why is Bochy reluctant to make any change here?
Well, let's see what happens when Panic comes back. And, you know, then he's the two-hitter, and you've got to make a decision, Aoki or Pagan in the leadoff spot. And I think it's pretty clear what they have to do. But you know what? This is a puzzler. It really is, because, you know, you watch Angel play defense, and you know that he's not a center fielder anymore. He's got under 300 on base percentage. You know that he's physically compromised, and you know, look, there's no blame to go around here.
Right.
You get older, you deal with some chronic injuries, your skills diminish. It happens, and it's nobody's fault, but you have to react to what you're seeing. And right now, Angel Pagan should not be the leadoff hitter on this team or the starting center fielder. And, you know, I think that the move will be made eventually. He's got $10 million on his deal for next year. And, I know you hear the chorus of, well, you know, that's Bochy doesn't write the checks. Why should he care? Well, the front office is not going to get rid of a player who's making $10 million next year. Bochy's going to have that guy in his dugout, in his clubhouse. He's going to have to deal with him. And, you know, you want everybody to be you know, you don't want any malcontents or anybody who's sort of stewing about their role because that just leads to bad chemistry. And you saw that with Aaron Rowland toward the end of his tenure as a Giant, but eventually he did yield as a starting player on that team. And I think the day will come with Angel as well. But, you know, right now it is a bit of a puzzler, but I really think the big action time is going to be when Panic comes back, you know, in another 10 days or so, and to see what happens there, because then it's stark. I mean, then you're either choosing Pagan or you're choosing Aoki in the leadoff spot. And, you know, that to me, that choice is pretty clear, isn't it?
Yeah, no, I agree. I'm just wondering, and we'll leave this subject alone because we've talked about it. I'm just wondering why Blanco, and I know maybe as an everyday player, he gets exposed a little more, but my goodness, you don't lose anything with him in there now, the way Pagan's going. But we'll see. I'm sure they have their reasons. But I think you're right. When Panic comes back, there's no question that I would say Aoki and Panic go back to the top, because that's what, you know, that was the beginning of the whole year. But I'll tell you something. Offensively, this team is tough to put away. You know, I don't care who's pitching on the mound. I don't care what the deficit is. This team is tough to put away. You get to that number three spot, and you're in trouble to the number eight spot.
Well, I think you're right, and that's you know, that's even right now with guys like Adrianza in there and Panic out. But you know, a lot of that is Matt Duffy. A lot of that is Buster Posey, obviously, and having protection for Posey with Hunter Pence sitting behind him, and we all know what the Giants' record is with and without Hunter Pence. He's been the difference maker. And then you get Brandon Belt and Brandon Crawford on the road, where they actually have a chance for an opposite field homer to go out. And you see that they've got more power threats than they do at home. And Belt has hit, 14 homers, and 12 of them have come on the road to at home. So, you know, I think that they're able to showcase their power a little bit more away from AT&T Park, especially their left-handed power. And that really makes them dangerous, because then you can't really make one mistake. One mistake could light up the scoreboard at any time if you're an opposing pitcher, especially an opposing right-handed pitcher.
All right, set up the game for us today. I know you got to get going. Matt Cain and Kyle Hendricks. Cain, Andy, he looks okay from time to time, and then all of a sudden it falls apart. One stat that someone had on the preview was 80 pitches in his last start, only 3 swings and misses. That's not good. Matt Cain, is he still sort of in spring training mode? What do you see from Cain?
I mostly just see inconsistency, and I think that it's going to be tough for Bruce Bochy. He's learning as he's going along too, to find out, you know, just how long he can go with them. It was really a puzzler in his last start, because he pitched very, very well and seemed to have command of his pitches. And then when he lost it very fast. and gave back half of that six-run lead in Atlanta, the game they ultimately lost in extra innings. And so that's really a tough one for a manager, because normally you see little signs, you know where the guy is in the lineup, you can see some of the at-bats people have had, and you can kind of gauge, okay, this is how far I can go with him. You know, if this happens, then I can take him out then. But that was just almost a pop-up thunderstorm, what happened to Kane in his last start. And so that makes him kind of a challenge for Bruce Bochy to manage right now. And I think, you know, Kane is relearning how to throw with maybe a little bit of a different arm action, and Bochy's learning just how to manage this guy, because they know each other very well. They've been around each other for a long time. But in a sense, he's a new guy for Bochy to know. And I think that's a feeling out process both for Kane on the mound and for Bochy in the dugout right now.
Well, he's got to give him six today because he has no long relief behind him. I'll tell you that. Petit was used yesterday. Vogelsong's in the rotation. So this is going to be interesting today. All right. Atmosphere. You've been at Wrigley a million times. What's the atmosphere like with the new scoreboards and just this resurgent Cub team?
What's that, Marty? I couldn't hear that over the loudspeakers on the Cubs scoreboard.
I know you said.
What'd you say?
That's funny. You said that on Twitter yesterday. You love the new scoreboard, but they can turn down the speakers about 80%. So.
Yeah. Actually, I think I put you can dump them in Lake Michigan.
I think you said that,
you know,
too.
I probably went to Wrigley Field as a baseball fan, you know, before I graduated from college, more than any other ballpark. And so I was really curious to see what the experience would be like with the big scoreboards, the video boards. And, you know, I walked into the ballpark and I looked around and I said, you know what, this looks pretty good. I thought they did a nice job. It's still Wrigley Field.
Really?
We live in an era where you got to have more information for the fans. And yeah, maybe they can all get them on their smartphones nowadays too. But to have the replays, I mean, it's a better fan experience now. It really is. And then BP started, and they started to play the music. And it was so loud, Bruce Bochy could not hear our questions in the dugout during the pregame. He said he's going to bring earplugs tomorrow. That's how loud it is. And, it's a shame because it's Dodger Stadium loud and it's obnoxious, really. I don't want to sound like an old man here but they're blasting everything. They were blasting Ray Charles, and I love Ray Charles. It's just way too loud. And I think I want more Gary Pressey on the organ. And of course the players have their walk-up music and play, stuff that people want to hear, but just turn it down a little bit, please. That's all I ask.
All right. You like the Cub team?
I think you have to. I think you have to like not only, the threats they have in their lineup. I mean, Schwarber, my goodness, is just a masher. Bryant hasn't really done much of anything for a couple months as touted as he was and as great a start as he got off to, as huge a spring training as he had too. But you have to like their athleticism too. Addison Russell is by far a better shortstop than Starlin Castro. And there were two balls that easily could have, throws that easily could have gone into center field that he was able to not only, get a glove on, but able to record, three outs in the process. So, I think you have to like their young core, and you got to think with guys like Lester, that they have enough veteran presence to kind of keep these guys from getting too wide-eyed. And Lester had something interesting to say the other day, because he's been around the block. He's won a World Series with the Red Sox. He knows what it's like to sort of have this big weight hanging over you of, hey, this team's never done it. You know, you're going to screw up at some point. It's fate. He just said, you know what, these guys just need to play stupid and not think about any of that stuff and just go out and play ball. And I think that's a good message for any Cubs team to have, because if you start thinking about, hey, nobody's won a World Series here since 1908, then that's when you start building up the pressure and maybe it becomes a self-fulfilling prophecy.
Well, they did go to the World Series. I pointed this out to Pat Hughes in 1945. I mean, you know, you can't be greedy about this stuff.
You know, right, yeah, exactly.
You know, and the Tigers did beat them, but heck, they were in the World Series. All right, I appreciate you taking the time. Get out to the ballpark. It should be, and I just love this time of year. It's good baseball, the injuries, and I don't know. There's just something about it. The Giants hang in there. But to see young teams, the Mets, the Cubs, come out of nowhere, it's why we love baseball. So this is a heck of a month of baseball.
Well, enjoy it, Marty. I know I will.
All right. Thanks, Andy. Thanks so much.
Okay.
All right.
Take care.
All right. That is Andy Bagley. Great to have him on. I appreciate it. He's heading out to the ballpark.